They're trying to tell us something. They have figured out the formula for chaos.
When the clock strikes 8:30, babe, time to head for Chris's house.
Hey.
Will the song make it to the next round?
Bono.
Pot of thunder. Let's pot tonight. Come on, baby, let's pot tonight.
What was?
Yes. Yes.
And golf clap.
Golf clap.
Now, was that made popular by the movie Men at Work? Because that's why I know it.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know it, too.
Okay.
That's the golf clap, like a polite clap.
Well, I think it was made famous in golf.
but referring to it as referring to it as such, and then
in a comedic sense.
Yeah.
You guys are big fans of those movies, aren't you? I've never seen them.
I'm a big fan of that. Yeah, I mean, they only made the one, I think, right, Andy?
Yeah, there's only one.
With Emilio and Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. And then...
What the fuck is all that racket up there? Jesus.
Intruder. Intruder in the home.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Blue Microphones. They look great. They sound even better. And who am I? That was something else. Thank you, Nick.
That was Chris's brainchild.
Chris, you play on that too?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't
this
time.
I'm not worthy of playing on a Hot for Teacher cover. It's out of my pay grade, I think.
Okay.
I came up with the idea and the lyrics, though.
That's good. Will there be any dancing?
I don't know.
Maybe there won't be.
I can move my foot around.
Well, maybe not.
I don't want to frighten this.
Yeah, no problem.
This little one here.
Here he comes. Polka dancing his bare foot.
That's what all they want to see anyway.
Yes, look at him go. Nick
here.
Pollock.
Here, fetch.
Has entered the program.
Here, go get him.
With one of Chris's pups on his lap. So there'll be no dancing today.
Sorry,
other than
everyone.
A single foot dance, but that's all right.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
The wife's gone, so it's complete mayhem around here.
Oh, okay.
Dogs barking wildly.
The royal
invading the podcast studio.
The second rumble entrant has
Oh, there's some growling. And to Nick's left, you want him, we got him.
Every day, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way, yeah. Fuck you.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. That is Chris L. We are Pot of Thunder, and we are ready to bring you episode 518 of this. 10 years in the making. Oh my gosh, we've been practicing for over 10 years for this very episode. We got here, and I feel like maybe, just maybe, we should pat ourselves in the back early in the show.
Yeah,
today.
You do that. I gotta take care of business upstairs.
Chris has some business, some whip to crack.
Jesus Christ.
It's a different kind of
We're
day.
We're here at the 10th annual Puppy Bowl.
Yes. All right. Oh, this week is a good one. This week's 10th anniversary message comes to us from the listener, Adam Montague.
Pod strikes 10, it must be Monday night. A decade of stupidity, but that's all right. Listen to Pod of Thunder tonight. Leave us a voice message tonight.
Hey guys, this is Adam from Dumbarton, Scotland.
if you wonder where the Barton is, it's just about half an hour outside of Glasgow, and I'm right across the street from the castle. So if you Google Dumbarton, the first thing you'll see is the castle, and I'm right down the street and across from it from there. So
royalty.
Yeah, just wanted to come and say hi and say thanks very much for the hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of entertainment you guys have provided. So it's been, well, I've been listening since early 2017.
Nice.
And actually remember how I discovered you guys. I was about to go on a drive from Glasgow to Edinburgh, I think, and I needed something for the journey, and I was going through a big Talk Is Jericho phase at the time. Just listening to lots of his old episodes and stuff, and I was looking for the one with Gene Simmons, the first one, and I couldn't find it for some reason, and I tried Googling it, and the first thing that came up, or one of the first things that came up, was your guys' first episode with Jericho. And I thought, okay, this will do. I need something. I'm about to leave. I need something for the trip. So downloaded it, listened to it, loved it, thought it was absolutely hilarious. At that time, you guys had done two episodes with Chris, I believe. So I downloaded the second one as well, and just went back and forth between those two, listening to those two over and over again. And then I thought, okay, right, and I give these guys a real proper listen. So became a subscriber on that podcast app, and went back to episode one and been listening all the way through, and you guys have been a soundtrack to many, many a work commute, many trip abroad, mostly Spain, been all over
Spain
listening to you guys.
We Barcelona, go with Spain, Barcelona, and Pot of Thunder,
Madrid,
La Peanut Cabina, Butter and Chocolate,
Santander, San Sebastian, yeah, the islands, all kinds of places. Just got back from a trip recently to Prague and Munich and Amsterdam, and you guys were the soundtrack to that trip as well. I was in South America for a month or so last year.
How many trips this guy did we ruin?
Buenos Aires, Argentina, and a couple of weeks in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil.
Jeez.
And again, you guys were the soundtrack to all those planes, trains, and automobiles. You know, just
wow.
Listen to one episode after the other, and you know, just download a whole bunch of them, and that does you for the trip. You know, it's brilliant. And got the pin when you guys did the autograph with the pin thing. I got that ages ago, and got a Pod of Thunder hoodie, which I wore, which is now a bit sort of worn out because I've worn it so much. Worn it to the office a few times. Worn it to
get fired.
Billy Ocean
all times.
Worn it abroad. I'll bring it back out and wear it for a couple of gigs I've got coming up. One in March is Suede. One of my probably my favourite band of all time is probably Suede. They're still making great albums now, they're brilliant, and I'll be no doubt at the Glasgow gig there wearing a Pot of Thunder hoodie.
Let's give him a break, we'll finish him up after because there's another 2 minutes to go. I don't
oh really okay
so we'll all do right. Half now, half later. I enjoy very much what you're saying, but you know, it's early in the show, we'll get back to him after the song. But geez,
it's incredible.
This guy's been all over the planet listening to us.
He mentioned Santander, Spain. That's where my mom's family comes from.
Oh, really?
Yeah, northern part. It's supposed to be beautiful. Never been there.
So you wear that sweater there.
Mm-hmm.
That's key to the city type, of type material.
They have a parade for you.
The seas part like Moses when you go walking down the street.
Yeah, it's whatever the Spanish equivalent to just having Lays put around your neck by every local.
He also mentioned a Talk Is Jericho phase. It's not unlike the phase some people go through when they dabble in homosexuality in college. So it's kind of along those lines, that one of those mythical phases
really?
That a lot of people go through.
Same kind of thing?
Similar, I would think.
Okay, I don't know. You know, it's nice to hear that he said he heard the first episode. That would have been the Kiss Alive classic albums clash. Yeah. And he said it was hilarious, because I haven't gone back and listened to it, but in my mind, I didn't think it was funny.
Mm.
Maybe it was. I thought the Aerosmith one was funny.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the Nitro one I thought was funny.
Yes, absolutely.
But I didn't feel like the Kiss one was funny. I didn't think it was bad, but I just didn't feel like
it
was funny.
I think we tried to play it a little straighter because it wasn't our show.
Yeah.
But that went out the window pretty quickly.
Mistake.
And then, of course, the Aerosmith one with all the analingus talk.
Yeah.
That just went up in smoke.
As it should.
Immediately, yes.
As it should. Yes. So thank you to Adam. And if you want to send us a nice 10th anniversary message, you can record it into your phone, whatever you want to do. You could be more ambitious, like John Churchill, and record a song, whatever it is, and send it to potofthunder@yahoo.com.
There's more to come from Adam later in the show.
Yes, yes, yes.
Season two of Adam's accolade coming later in this episode.
Very special episode.
Yeah.
That's Adam. Those are always two-parters.
It's very cool to hear. It's cool to hear that, you know, there's something resonating with people. You know, let's be honest, when it's someone international, exotic flavor, it means a little more.
I agree, yeah.
I mean, people are all people. They all count the same.
But
not really. They have an accent. You just want to hear a little bit more, like, why? How did we get on did you find us is really what I mean.
It illustrates the global reach of, you know, what you can accomplish on the internet versus back in the day when you guys had trouble attracting people to some venues in fucking Highland, which is the next town over.
Exactly.
And here we got someone from Scotland and traveling all over the world listening to us.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
He's like the Johnny Appleseed of Pot of Thunder. Well, I just made an assumption that he's sharing. He's wearing the sweatshirt, but I'm making an assumption that he's telling people about it. He's probably not speaking to anyone.
Probably not. People are staying away from him because he's just giggling to himself or he's laughing hysterically outright and nobody's getting near him.
Yeah, we don't even know which sweatshirt he bought. Could be.
That's true.
Could be some unsavory.
This guy bones his women like a champ.
Yeah, exactly.
Throughout Europe, that would be good.
Yeah, some countries go for it. Some might be a little shy.
That would probably work in Spain, Italy, the horny countries, as they call them.
Yeah.
Geographically. That's Rick Steves did a special about.
During one of the wars, that's how they identify them.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a PBS special. Yeah,
the Axis powers was taken, so they went for the horny countries instead.
I think it would be Spain, France, Italy. Yeah.
Those kind of lure in their adversaries with a more upbeat vibe.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if anybody here is hungry. I am.
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me? Oh.
It's foil.
Mm-hmm. It is foil.
It's been opened.
It's been baked.
I'm sniffing.
What do we got here?
It appears to be
noisy foil.
Either a cheesecake or a type of custardy deal.
It's looking
not cheese.
Key lime-ish.
Key lime is correct. It's
my all-time favorite dessert.
Oh, okay.
Ask anyone.
Key lime's your thing, huh?
Key lime pie bar with a graham cracker crust, not a crumbled graham cracker actually. It's like from scratch graham cracker dough.
Hmm.
And then laid out.
So it's not bullshit honey made out of the package.
It's not crumbly. It's a solid layer of graham cracker.
It is solid.
It's based on a Magnolia Bakery recipe, which I understand is everything there is quite rich and good.
And where is this establishment?
That's the Waco, Texas Chip and Joanna thing. You know,
they have a bakery.
Apparently,
I didn't know
that's this is what I'm told.
David Koresh has a bakery.
Well,
I was half listening.
You know, it's a good thing that they redeemed the name of Waco.
That is like the only thing anybody talks.
Because now when you hear Waco, you don't think of Koresh and that whole thing.
I didn't know that there was.
I still do.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I
think most people don't anymore.
Okay, I didn't know that there was another. There's a new sheriff in town.
There you go.
Yeah, the Gaineses have taken over.
They successfully righted that, I guess.
What do they do? They're bakers?
No, they're, what are they, like home improvement?
Home improvement. Apparently they're in the baking realm as well.
Purveyors of shiplap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, are they the ones who popularized shiplap?
Yeah.
just slap their name and likeness on anything, and it'll fly off the shelves.
Okay.
Although I hear in a nod to Waco's past, you know, that they don't want to, you know, they don't want to, you know, brush everything under the rug. They do want to acknowledge what happened in Waco in the 90s. The whenever they fire up the bakery ovens every day, they do so with tank turrets.
That makes sense. That's the appropriate way to do it.
A little bit of a nod of respect to those who perished at the Branch Davidian compound.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a well, anyway, everybody knows what that was.
Yeah. Well, hey, about this treat.
Not bad, Nick.
See, now, unlike the carrot cake, how come there's not a lime and frosting on the top of that?
Yeah, like a little green.
Because it's not necessary, so it shouldn't be on the carrot cake anymore either.
But I do like the anomaly. It's just, there's no need for it, but it's always there. It's strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really feel like buying a lime and cutting it open and putting a piece on there.
Oh, you could do. I have seen that. For no reason. There's like a sliver of an actual lime, but that's not the same as drawing one.
Right, drawing with a lime. Frosting.
Yeah. Frosting on this wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. You can just write lime on it.
That hasn't stopped you in the past.
That's true.
Yeah.
So
apple pie with no apples last week. Even though it was good, saying.
We were going back in time.
Since
through hard times.
Yeah. That's right.
Commemorating America's hard times.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, it was in a 9x13 pan.
Mm-hmm.
Required 12 egg yolks.
Holy shitballs.
And 3 cans of sweetened condensed milk.
Fuck.
No one. It's like 4 pounds. And it's only like 2x2
yeah,
inches.
Yeah, it's very dense. Very. I thought it was very good.
It's like lead. Listen to this.
Watch it. That's a glass top, dude. You fucking shatter
it
that.
It was.
We're in trouble. It could shatter from a tiny sliver of key lime.
For all, trust me, the things that have gone on that desktop over the years, that desk was back in the band house in the early 90s. For it to remain intact only to be broken by Nick's fucking key lime bar would be a tragedy.
Yeah, it would be kind of a badge of honor though for me.
It would be for Nick. It would be bad for everyone else.
Although the way Nick described this bar, it sounds possibly even more decadent than all the cocaine that was whiffed up off the top of that desk over there.
Nostrils and butthole prints all over this
exactly.
thing back in the 90s.
Your general practitioner would make you feel more guilty about the key lime.
He would. At this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you admit what exactly was happening.
All those egg yolks.
Yeah.
It's like the fentanyl of desserts, what Nick has given us today.
It is.
Careful. Got to watch ourselves. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to eat that in a minute. We're going to see if that... goes.
Dropping things on my glass desktop. What a fucking jag off. Breaks my desk chair first, and now he's intent on shattering the glass top of that vintage desk.
Gotta complete the set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that chair better, the one you have now?
Oh, it has to be.
That's nice.
Compared
yeah.
to the
yeah.
previous one?
Yeah, the old one.
It has to be.
I mean, even when we started, it had seen... better days.
Well, that it'd seen better days before it came out of the box. Originally.
Before it put a hit out on Andy.
Yeah.
The worst pieces of desk equipment ever created.
Okay, so business. It is Chris's pick, I believe.
That is correct.
Right. So, are you going to go off the list? Or are we
of
gonna...
course.
Okay. So, right now we have 844 songs to choose from. We are going to, whenever Nick is ready, give the wheel a spin and we'll see what we get. Okay, we drew number 816 towards the bottom of the list.
816.
Again, it was out of a total of 844. I'm going to send this to Chris and see what he thinks. Interesting choice here.
And just so everybody knows, we definitely have something for everybody's favorite segment. This just this huge picture of Pope Sergius II popped up, so we'll be in good shape for that. But let me see. That's interesting.
It is an interesting choice here.
Let me keep that in the hopper. But that'll definitely happen if we don't find anything better. That would probably warrant a video watch along, though.
Really?
So we're prepared for that.
Okay. Well, Nick, give us another pull, please. Whenever you're ready.
I did it.
Okay. I was blaming you for my incompetence and my dying mouse battery. Okay.
Don't get me started on Bluetooth.
Oh, I know.
Peripherals like that. Isn't unnecessary.
Is it not the worst?
Completely especially unnecessary. Apple, it doesn't work right. It doesn't.
Which things don't work right?
The Bluetooth peripherals, the keyboard, the mouse are always fucking getting disconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it could be wired.
Apple's
it's fine.
Garbage. They put crap out to market that doesn't work right. Everybody knows it, but these ditto heads just, Apple, gotta have it.
I like it. I think it's nice.
It's crap.
I think they make a nice product. This is number 211 on the list.
Armed robbery, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm going to Bushwick that
211. Oh, my gosh.
Simply because I prefer to talk about the first one comparatively, so obviously not a bad track.
Okay.
But Bushwicking it.
Move along to the next trick.
Sounds like the third one's going to have to really be something to to supplant the first one, no?
The first one's very interesting.
Well, to supplant the first one, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be like doesn't have to blow me away. I mean, it just has to intrigue me a little more.
Okay.
It'd be an interesting discussion with the first one.
Okay. All right. Well, Nick, once more, please, and thank you. Okay, we got 556 sending our third and final possible selection from our listener submission list to Chris. Right at this very moment, once I remember where I was, there it is. Okay. I'll autocorrect. Damn Apple. Okay. So we're gonna see Chris is mulling it over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll go back to the first one.
To the first one, huh?
Just because we've done this artist with the third poll recently, semi-recently, so.
Okay.
So go back to the first one, and it'll warrant a video watch-along, but before we do that, we've got a segment to take care of.
Do we really? Oh my gosh, hold on, I wasn't even there.
Habemus Papam.
Time for Pope stuff. Yeah, that Pope stuff. Here's some Pope stuff.
So we got what was it? 816?
Yes.
816. Was that it? The first poll?
Yes.
Okay.
We have a large image here of Pope Stephen IV. It was a leap year that year, just in case we're wondering. Let's see. King Louis the Pious, son of Charlemagne, is crowned Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire by Pope Stephen IV at Reims. I'm not sure how to say that exactly. He also crowns the Emperor's wife, Ermengarde. Isn't that a meme?
Ermengarde.
Isn't that the turtle eating the mashed potatoes as Ermengarde? As Holy Roman Empress. So, and it's funny because in our chat here, live chat, someone wanted some Pope Stephen VI
Yeah, Chris Camarado did.
I'm trying to remember if we'd mentioned before. It's a very, very interesting and infamous event that he oversaw. But no, we have Stephen the Fourth. We came up a few years short there for you.
Well, hold on a minute. I thought the first poll was 844, not 814.
816. I said there's a grand total of 844 on the list, and we got number 816.
Okay, because I pulled 844, and that's where I got that big picture of who was that? Pope Sergius II?
Power Sergius II, I think they call him.
Yeah, right. And there was a bit about the everybody's favorite Byzantine Empire from that as well.
Well, there you go. Well, it's funny. This one had a big picture of Stephen the Fourth, so
there you go.
Worked out either way.
I think Wikipedia is getting wind of Pope stuff, and they're prominently featuring popes in their year retrospective on there. You know, they're like anybody else. They want to keep visitors coming, keep people interested.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah, we're going to need a video hookup for this. So, you want to give me a minute to...
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this before we say what song it is. I can tell you, I don't think I've ever seen this video. I know what the song... I know the song by the title. Like, I know the chorus of it.
And I have no clue what it is still.
A wee bit before my time and not something I've gone back to visit. Just something I've absorbed through... secondhand contact, if that makes sense. And also, it's on the list twice from two different people. Yes. Let's see if I can read the descriptions without... Yeah, I can read the descriptions without saying what it is.
Okay.
Should we try that?
Yeah.
All right, so 816 from Mike Medina. That's the one we pulled.
Okay.
It says, 80s... WTF indie rock at its finest.
Okay.
I thought this song was already done, but I couldn't find it in the archives or Google. My bad if it's just my error. It was not done already, Mike.
I have no clue what this would be, 80s WTF indie rock.
And then Patrick Stone says, hidden gem from the early MTV era.
Okay. I like where this is going.
So now you can, well, really it's just Nick and our friends on our Patreon live recording of the episode who don't know what's going on. But you guys can wonder for a moment as we hook everything up here. Didn't know we were going to do a video. Now we do. Okay. So, Chris... Do you know the album title, or do you want me to?
I have all the information, yes.
Chris has the information. All right, well, without any further ado, let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho!
All right, Harold! This one's called...
Mexican Radio.
Uh-huh.
Off of...
Call of the West.
By the band...
Wall of Voodoo.
Ow!
And what year is this from? Because
1982.
Okay, because I remember... My introduction to this song/video was on a Beavis and Butthead episode, I remember.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the creator of that show was a fan of this style of music, like Southern sort of, I don't even know what you'd call it. It's got the twangy guitars and I'm not really sure. I wouldn't say it's rockabilly. Well, I guess we'll get into it, but I'm somewhat familiar with
early,
it.
As I said, early alternative rock. You know, I wouldn't call it Southern rock.
I'm not sure, but it's got like a, I don't know. It's got a. Well, I guess what Stray Cats were pretty big at that point. And I'm just saying, it's as far as like a sound, a sort of a genre to kind of connect it to.
Here are the genres listed in Wikipedia, and I think this is pretty accurate, actually. It would be post-punk, new wave, and art rock. And they were on the IRS label. So
Mr. Copeland's
Correct. And who else? REM was on that label early, I believe. And, was B-52s on that label?
I don't think so. I think, well, that was local punk legend Jim Skafish's band was on IRS, I think.
Oh, really?
Pretty sure.
REM, Go-Go's, Wall of Voodoo, Fine Young Cannibals, bands like that.
Go West?
That was the name of the album, wasn't it?
Oingo Boingo is on there. I'd say they're in that same realm. Skafish is listed under this listing here. English Beat, of course.
Oh, yes.
Hmm. Okay.
Buzzcocks.
Hmm. Quite a label.
Yeah, Cramps.
So this is 1982?
Correct. Okay. Dead Kennedys were on there.
Really?
Yeah.
What were they doing there? They had their own deal going. They must have had
I don't know. Something. They're listed them. Under the roster.
So. Sounds like bullshit to me. I'm calling bullshit on that one.
What are you knocking around over there,
It's my
dude?
Beverage. It's
Jesus
coffee.
Jesus Christ.
It's a gentleman's beverage. Ow. That's my knee.
So you don't recall seeing this video? You seen it in the context of
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. So, never in my life.
I don't remember. Well, I guess we'll see what happens in the video. I don't remember much about it though. I don't remember any significant goings on from the clip that was shown. So we'll see.
But Chris says it warrants an episode. So.
Well, a video watch along. It's already warranted an episode.
I meant a video episode. So I'm excited. Pulling it up here.
Yep, that Vivo one is the one you want.
That's the winner, huh? All right, we're going to do that. Yes.
Yeah, so Stan Ridgway was the front man. Went on to have a bit of a solo career. I know he had a solo cut that was in a movie that was somewhat famous. I'm trying to find it. Oh, yeah, Don't Box Me In with Stuart Copeland for the soundtrack to Francis Ford Coppola's Rumblefish, starring Mickey Rourke, Matt Dillon, and Dennis Hopper.
Hmm.
I vaguely remember that, but...
I don't remember that at all. I've never heard of that movie.
I vaguely remember the Don't Box Me In. It got some traction on MTV, but this video was pretty regularly played in early MTV.
Damn it.
So it came out like probably 6 months or so after MTV debuted, August 1st, 1981, I think. So
okay.
And I was, you know, I remember vaguely hearing something about what I believe the subject matter is of this song, and I'm trying to look it up and make sense of it and see if it's what I had heard before, but there was a podcast or something I'd listened to, and it was about radio stations near the border, Mexican-American border, called Border Blaster Stations, and they were unregulated, and...
Isn't that... So we talked about in that
the ZZ Top.
Is that where? Oh, yeah. Heard it on the X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Same thing.
X station. It does say that as well. Okay. So that was where. And then I remember looking into it a little bit more after that episode. Okay. So strange to have another song about that same subject come up to be covered.
It's all people want to talk about, I guess, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool, actually.
That moment in time.
Wall of Voodoo also played at the US Festival in 83. So, I mean, they were pretty friggin' popular back in the day.
All right. So I know this was a big song, but...
You're familiar with the song.
With the song, but I'm not familiar with anything else. Was it just that they were so hot off of this song and probably album, but... They didn't have much of a
this
career.
This is the only song I can recall hearing from them. So.
Just making sure I wasn't missing something, and they had six amazing albums, and they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or something.
No, they're not. album was released September 1982, so a little over a year after the inception of MTV. So this would have been a brand new video that entered the rotation. I remember seeing it quite often when we finally got MTV, which is right around September of 82, as I recall.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
but yeah, this to me, this is similar to Oingo Boingo, where I would think the music would be in Andy's wheelhouse, kind of off kilter, weird sense of humor going on. Seems like something he would enjoy.
Doesn't really sound like me, but we'll be the judge of that. No, so I hear you.
The album was Call of the West. And I'm trying to just kind of get a feel for, like, musically where I would assume they would go just based off the track listings. Or, you know, I don't know that. Do they stray from this sound? Do we have any? We have no clue.
I have not heard any. The only other song that I know of is Don't Box Me In, the solo song by Stan Ridgway. And it was kind of similar to this, just had that same. It's almost like, I want to say it was sort of in that Les Claypool Primus in terms of his vocal delivery and just sort of the lyrical content. Sort of it's bringing that connection to mind for me a little bit. But those are the only two songs I know in connection with this band and Stan Ridgway. So,
okay. Well, there's a review, a contemporary review of the album that calls it spooky Halloweenish fun.
I'm into this.
Now I could kind of, from this song only, I could see where that makes sense, that it would be like a sort of a haunting, almost spooky sort of a thing. But it's one of those things where you hear the song and you have no idea that they even have other songs.
Right.
Like it's
yeah.
It's so far from your mind that they may have an album full of great songs or something like that. It's just like, oh well, this is like a quirky, you know, weird sort of a song artist that broke through this one time, and they can't have much else, can they? Maybe they do, I don't know.
But that just goes to show you the power of just having that one hit single. You play the fucking Us Festival off of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're still being talked about to this day. You're featured on Beavis and Butthead. It's a legendary song and video from anybody who was around in early MTV days or just has, you know, a sense of nostalgia for that period. So one song and they're on the map forever. Amazing.
This dude's still alive?
I don't know.
As far as we know, or we don't know.
No,
I was going to say, you can bet your ass if he's alive.
It says he is.
They're touring right now, just like everyone else.
I wonder.
One song.
Let's see. We'll find out.
County Fairs.
It says Wall of Voodoo was an American rock band.
Well, I bet he's gone out on his own.
From Los Angeles.
Hitting all the county fairs.
Could be. Yeah, it's probably the case. We've got the one guy who's carrying the flag still.
Yeah, unless he's physically unable for some reason. But yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we take a quick commercial break? Let's regroup, and we'll be right back with Wall of Voodoo's Mexican Radio.
See, this is already striking me as it could have possibly been a Flying Aaron's video. Just the Stan Ridgway's confusion over what he's hearing. Just I could see Aaron and or Andy being cast in that role in a in a video, if you guys ever caught it. But but as you can see, you know, you can already tell it's like there's some off-kilter humor going on here.
And there's definitely some merit in the you don't see it that much anymore, but when especially the front man had to be an actor, a master of pantomime in your video.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what band it was.
That's part of the deal.
Even and everybody attempted it. Even which the absolute worst example of this is the No Stranger to Love video from the IOMI Black Sabbath. Where it was technically, it was Black Sabbath featuring Tony.
Correct. It was like supposed to be a solo album, but the record company stepped in and felt that it would get more traction if they slapped Black Sabbath.
And it was
Glenn Hughes.
Yeah, Glenn Hughes is in the video. It looked like just like Ewan McGregor in the video.
That's not a bad thing.
No. But I remember IOMI was the one who was in the little, whatever you want to call it, the vignettes in between the performance. Yeah, and there's no larger block of wood than Tony Iommi in that video.
You've got a Ewan McGregor lookalike, and you're gonna make Tony Iommi the love
interest.
And Iommi
is the one with the woman hugging him and things like that. Yeah. And it, not to just pick on him, but just something I've been wanting to bring up because I find it humorous. I've seen it a few times over the years, and it's just like, wow.
Failure.
It's not what you want from Tony.
Well, and that's not what he does.
No,
he's not. He can't even fake it.
It just goes to show you that during that era, that was what everybody had to do. If you were gonna be the number one guy in your group, you were gonna be the one who was gonna be sort of like pantomime acting in your video.
Yep, had to be.
Yeah.
My shoulder and the touch of a world that is older. I turn the switch and check the number. I leave it on when in bed I slumber.
You got a Vibra slap.
There we go.
Being shown on camera. But yeah, just the twitchy, you know, facial expressions. And doesn't that kind of remind you of Les Claypool a little bit, and then the tone of the voice a bit.
I mean, it's very art rock for sure. I know that was one of the genres that Andy read off.
Well, I read it off.
Or you read off. But it's
I don't do a lot of reading.
No, he doesn't. Less than me, which is saying something.
it's very art rocky. Like the twitching and the sort of like early Elvis Costello, really, really hamming it up with your gimmick like that.
Hmm. But yet, these are pop hits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of, I wonder if they set out to create that or if it just kind of happened, you know. But I mean, obviously, this would be the lead single that they made a video from. So somebody must have thought that it had some potential. But, you know, IRS was known as a sort of, you know, avant-garde label, even though they had like Go-Go's on there, which is a huge pop hit. I mean, they're in the friggin' Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely. I don't know. You just wonder if they had any clue that this would become like such an iconic hit of the early '80s.
So that verse melody, I was trying to think. There's a similar melody in my head that I'm trying to identify. Mm-hmm. I figured it out.
What is it?
Perhaps the greatest music video of the '80s. It's the I guess that would be the pre-chorus to Walk of Life. it's got a similar sort of rhythm and melody to.
The Dire Straits song.
Yeah, it's got a bit of that in there.
Yeah,
the pre-chorus. I'm trying to think of it. Are you talking about the video with the sports highlights and the bloopers? Yeah, it was terrible.
Absolutely fantastic video.
Nick said best video of the '80s.
It's either that or Sledgehammer or Thriller. I don't know.
All three equal.
All three. It's a neck and neck and neck.
I never got the reasoning for all the sports highlights and that.
It was all bloopers, right?
They're all bloopers.
Yeah.
I never made the connection. And I'm a sports fan, but I'm like, I don't really necessarily want to see this in a Dire Straits.
Dire Straits performance footage and pretty much Bob Uecker's, you know, sports bloopers kind of a shtick going on.
Maybe there was nowhere else to see that at the time. and it was unique.
I don't know, but it was. It doesn't seem
special now.
It stuck with me.
Yeah.
I just recall the one scene of Billy White Shoes Johnson shaking his ass into the camera after a touchdown.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I didn't. I that was a video I would, you know, go into the kitchen and make a frozen pizza or something when that came on. I just was not interested.
I couldn't look away. Like even though you realize even at a young age this is kitsch or whatever.
See, now this is my kind of kitsch because this is musically I would prefer Dire Straits over listening to this, but this video was one that I would, you know, whenever it came on when they had the white noise visual and the weird kind of keyboard thing going on,
the stand up drum set,
I would be there watching it. I would not turn it off. It's just something so weird and appealing about it.
I hear the rhythms of the music by the product that never use it. I hear the talking of the DJ.
truly odd things happening here, especially the visuals.
That's early MTV also. This isn't even really weird compared to the standard fare back then.
Do you think the fact that this was available at the right time is part of the reason why it was such a hit? Like, if MTV didn't exist, is this a hit on the radio?
Probably not.
I would say no. Probably, but it's hard to say because MTV just changed everything, obviously. But
but
when the network started, they were just playing all these legacy videos, just getting at any video that had been created. Which there were a lot of videos created in the 60s and 70s. You know, a lot of people think, or they seem to remember MTV ushering in the era of the music video, but there were tons of music videos. Filmed and dedicated, made specifically in the 60s and 70s. But when the network took off, I think that's when some directors got a little artsy, others got, like with the Known Stranger to Love, just got kind of stupid with it. The Billy Squire one, as we've talked about, just, you know, imparting their ridiculous visions on the artists, and it didn't end well. But this is just, you know, I think weird for weirdness sake.
I dial it in and tune the station. They talk about the U.S. inflation. I understand just a little. No comprende. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican, radio. I'm on a Mexican.
It's simple, but it's a hooky, catchy chorus for sure. It's not one that you forget.
Right.
Which is a trick in itself.
Right.
I'm not sure what he's... What exactly? I mean, he's talking about listening to these stations, these X stations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a really big, like, Dr. Demento vibe. Like, I have a feeling that every song in this band's catalog at one point or another was featured on Dr. Demento's.
That's probably
show.
True. Yeah.
Well, you stumbled onto something. The director of this video. Francis Delia directed another video I'm sure you guys are familiar with. I Lost on Jeopardy by Weird Al Yankovic.
Well.
Okay.
This is the guy's wheelhouse, apparently.
It's good to know.
That's a classic.
Directed. Oh, listen to this. He directed the music video for The Right to Rock by Keel in 1985.
Wow.
Yeah. And listen to this. 1984, director of the music video Somebody's Watching Me.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This guy's a legend.
He's directed. He has some Ramones, Time Has Come Today. That was a cool video.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got quite the resume.
Wow.
Here. In fact, that guy on the little keyboard sort of resembles Dee Dee Ramone in the background. One of the guys.
Yeah.
In the band.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah, this director has got quite the resume.
Yeah, he does. Jerry Kern says Devo's Satisfaction was big at the time too, which was also very odd sounding.
Absolutely.
I think they were on SNL, weren't they? Or was it Fridays? Might have been
they were. Devo was on Fridays with the energy helmets and whatnot.
That was Fridays.
I remember that was being on Fridays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were also on Square Pegs.
That's a British show, right?
No, that's
Canadian show.
No, it's an American show.
No, it's not. What is it?
It was like a high school show. It was Sarah Jessica Parker was in.
Oh, okay.
And they were on an episode.
Okay, so they were like into a scripted show.
Yeah.
They were
like, it was, you know, like the Doobie Brothers two-part episode of What's Happening.
What's Happening.
It was worked into the show.
Mm. Okay. Did they act?
I don't remember if they really did or not.
Those are always weird.
Yeah, sometimes.
Nobody's really good at that.
Now the Doobies on What's Happening, that was pretty good, the way that they were written in, the way that they were performing and dialogue given to them.
It was done right.
It was done right in that particular case.
All right. Let's continue.
Radio.
I don't know who the drummer is, but I like him.
Yeah, he's my favorite guy now. He's having the best time
just
hitting the snare drum. Yeah.
Probably didn't expect that clip to be used in the video, much less a close-up of him. He's probably just like, this is ridiculous what we're doing here, you know, what this guy has us doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so there's a sort of a red sunset going on and like a door of a Winnebago or something just standing there on its own. I don't know what that
TV
is.
TV screen.
Yeah. It's funny how back then the videos were not... It's not what we're used to today.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
Where it's constant action and cuts everywhere and...
There's certainly no imagination going on. Like, you know... This or Somebody's Watching Me or any of the other videos we mentioned, you know, there's something unique and it's got some personality to it.
Now Michael Jackson wasn't actually in the video, I don't think, was he?
No, he just sang
for Rockwell.
I don't think he was in it. What was it? The terrible Jackson's song that.
When they got back together for something.
Torture.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think it's just like a silhouette of him and then the other four.
So they just got somebody else, like Michael Jackson.
I mean, it was. He wasn't.
Alfonso Riviera. Stepped up to do the silhouette scene.
Yeah, either him or Dave Coulier came in to patch it up.
Possibly a mashup of the two.
All right, let's keep going.
Now, I'm not... Another band that had, some MTV hits around this time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, minus the rhythm, the trademark rhythm that this other band would always have, I could see, like, Madness having an instrumental passage like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something of that time that it's not unique to just this band. Just some... It gets weird. It gets kind of ugly sounding, like, overly... I guess, are they making a statement about electronics getting out of control and music? I don't know. But it sounds like something of the time.
Yeah, and obviously Madness. You could make that. You could connect those dots to the rockabilly scene, the ska scene, coming out with the like the Specials and all. The English Beat would have been in that wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And English Beat, of course, was way more pop oriented than than certainly this band. I mean, Madness, they also had those, you know, pop sensibilities going on with the hits that got traction on MTV, but apparently they were a pretty hardcore ska band, you know, that busted out a couple, you know, accessible hits, and, you know, like Andy said, they're probably still out there touring, playing cruises, and these resort, these festivals in the tropics and whatnot, so.
I'm sure.
So there's a couple. There's a famous sequence coming up in this video that's like split up. It's not a continuous sequence. There's like a it cuts in. There's two or three or four scenes of it that are they're separated by other scenes, but that's coming up here. I don't know. If you might not. Nick might remember it. I wondered how Beavis and or Butthead. What their comments about it is, but it's the one thing that I remember from the video that really stands out to me.
Okay. Let's see what it is.
Radio, 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 radio.
Okay, that was the first one, the old Mexican lady with the big pot. She's about to open the lid off of it, so.
Radio, radio, I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican, whoa, radio. I'm on a...
Now, as we know, Nick is a big Beans fan. He's always sending us pictures of the cans of beans. What is it, the Serious Bean Company?
Serious Bean
that
Company,
you, patronize, which of course I modified the logo to say read the Serious Shit Company. I like the packaging. Those have got to be tasty beans.
They are, and I don't recall them ever really upsetting my stomach, so just saying.
Well, there's a difference between upsetting your stomach and giving you gas and making you shit, you know. those second two things don't necessarily have to be unpleasant. They don't have to be connected to a stomach upset, really.
That's true.
And it's just all the fiber in the beans that you just can't avoid it.
So a giant pot of beans, and then now we're getting a behind-the-scenes look at the director yelling at them as they're...
I wonder if that's the actual director, or if they...
Francis, whatever.
If they tried to dramatize the whole thing, but interesting why they would decide to do this.
It's really, like, you get the impression that early MTV was, I guess pun sort of intended, like the Wild West.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like whatever. So I know Mike Nesmith had something to do with it, and it just seems like it... Because I've seen some of his videos. I own one, where it's a collection of stuff from, like, probably around this time period.
He had to do with what? Early MTV?
Yeah, he was pretty big in I don't know exactly.
In the company in some
capacity?
Well,
he was a big player in it.
I didn't know
Did not know that.
And, like, some of his early videos, like, I have a video compilation.
It's what the hell?
Will you cut it off?
Well, it just really, it's similar to just kind of like this, an extension of like a Monkees type humor where you've got, you know, yeah, like behind the scenes, maybe like weird stuff like this and fast cuts to stuff that doesn't seemingly make any sense, but mm-hmm, it's an interesting image.
So the face coming out of the pot of beans was the scene that the first time you see it, you weren't really expecting it.
Yeah.
And then the next time, every time you see it subsequently, you're waiting for that scene and you're trying to see, like, can you detect part of his face in the beans?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see part at the tip of his nose in there if you
look weird
closely. But yeah, the first time you see that, you're just like...
Weird was the normal. Weird was the standard.
I wish we could get back to that, because it's definitely a lot more imagination than the bullshit that's
yeah, no kidding.
It's coming. It came out even 4 or 5 years later. It's just it really the charm of it kind of went away pretty quickly when commerce got involved and
yeah.
You know, weirdness for weirdness sake just went away in favor of you know, trying to create these mini movies that were more Hollywood in nature, trying to have Tony Iommi as a love interest and, that's terrible idea.
It's a tragedy within a tragedy.
I'm gonna have to watch that. Oh,
it's unbelievable.
I think you've mentioned it either on the show or within our own discussion.
It's something that when you see it, it's like, wow! It all kind of makes sense that this, you know, that you had to do this,
right? But without having seen it, just expecting it to be totally awful based on your description. Goes back to what we talk about occasionally, which is, at what point does someone step up and say, look, this is terrible. We can't put this out.
Yeah.
We have to go in a different direction here.
Well,
when that doesn't happen and dozens of people sign off on it, that's astonishing. Yeah.
And when it's the guy who owns everything involved, then I don't know, owns the name.
Yeah.
He's the reason anybody's there at that point.
Crazy.
Radio, 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 radio,
radio. That'll do it.
There you have it.
Interesting pick.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that two people put it on there, too.
Yeah, it's on there 2 times in a row. Who was it? It was from Patrick Stone and Mike Medina. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Funky yeah. Cold Medina, a.k.a.
So, very interesting. Chris, you brought it to the show via those guys. Your turn to vote. Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch?
Oh, I'll give it a Sweet Surrender for sure.
It's Sweet Surrender!
Like I said, just one of those videos that, you know, our cable company in the suburb where my parents moved us, what year was that? 79, I think? Yeah. Cable company didn't get MTV right off the bat. I don't think a lot of cable companies did. Mm. And it just sort of trickled into homes across the country. But I seem to remember... 82, 83 would have been my sophomore year in high school. And I remember, you know, MTV was definitely getting in homes around where we lived. People were talking about it in school. And, you know, that 82 was when I started going to concerts as well. So it was like really getting into music and all kinds of music. Different genres and being exposed to stuff largely because of MTV. And like this, like we said, I doubt anybody would have ever heard it if not for MTV and if not for this video. So it's not exactly in my wheelhouse of music, but this is definitely a video that whenever it came on, I always watched it all the way through just because it was so odd, and the face coming out of the pot of beans was always like, yeah. I'd seen it a million times. I'm like, I want to see this face come out of the pot of beans, and leading up to it, been like, there, I think that's his nose. Yeah, there it is. You can see it. So, yeah, just definitely a big nostalgic appeal for me.
Nick?
I'll give it a Sweet Surrender as well.
Hmm.
It's Sweet Surrender!
Hell yes!
It's weird. It's, however, very seemingly well-crafted pop song. It's got very decisive, very strong melodies. Not dynamic, but very strong, and very like it, very memorable. And musically, when it gets into like the weird electronic, like when it starts to really overtake it and kind of drown out everything else, it's pretty cool. I mean, we were talking about Devo and stuff like that, where you could just kind of, it was acceptable in a very popular band like that to just sort of let it get ugly for a little while and not really not really apologize for it, just sort of like, yeah, we're just gonna forget it's a pop song for a brief passage or something like that. So that's pretty cool, and it shows, yeah, the sort of like the renegade mentality that a lot of these people must have had. It was probably a lot of fun, I would think, for these bands, yeah, and for these directors and probably the VJs and everything like that back then, just to be like, all right, what's like the next really out there kind of thing that we're gonna work on and show to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, really really cool. I'm curious. I have a feeling that the rest of the album doesn't stray far from this, but I don't know, and I feel like perhaps a little bit later I might just kind of cruise the album and see what's going on here, because if they were on IRS Records, I would assume, you know, they were good players, and there was some other different types of stuff going on, but we'll find out.
Yep. I'm going to give it a Sweet Surrender too.
It's Sweet Surrender!
Yeah, this is the first time I think I've ever seen the video. I'd seen like a quick segment of it on some retrospective about early MTV, who knows when, but I thought it was fun. I like stuff that's weird for the sake of weird, especially if it has some kind of hook, like a pop hook in it, but it still maintains its weirdness. It's not just garbage that's weird, you know? And this did that, so hats off to him.
And I could see this song being like a cover that would have been done by, don't ask me why, like a female fronted group in like the 90s. I don't know that it ever was, but I could totally see. It's kind of weird, but it just popped in my head. I could see like Sheryl Crow doing this song or something. Like just somebody like, yeah, like a female fronted act.
It could be done like in a more straightforward way.
Like a B-side to a single back then or something like that. Yeah, like a little bit more straightforward. I don't know.
The odd instrumentation and the vocal delivery.
I think it's a song.
Alanis Morissette.
I think it's a song that translates to some kind of like somewhat successful cover version like that. Hmm. A bit more of that. Yeah, like a straight ahead, maybe rock band playing it.
Well,
I don't know.
Who's going to do it?
Someone should have done it. I'm going to look it up and see if it happened.
May have. Maybe it actually did and you didn't remember. But either way, look where we found ourselves.
Hammond, I got a question for you.
Paul Stanley needs to know what's going on with this. Is Mexican Radio a rock and roll boner classic, as voted by the three rock and roll boners in this room? Who did it, Nick? Who did it?
I don't see that anybody did it.
Nobody's had the balls over the years.
I don't see anybody.
Sheryl Crow has definitely desecrated her share of songs in his cover versions. I mean,
I'm just trying
she's
to think
a female five finger death punch in that respect. Honestly, two of them come immediately to mind: "The Sweet Child of Mine" and "The First Cut Is the Deepest." Just absolute desecrations of those songs. Horrible.
First Cut is the Deepest was huge.
Terrible.
That cover
terrible
was huge.
Terrible version.
Yeah.
Absolute shit.
I guess she's just the first one that comes to mind when I think the era that this could have worked.
Yeah.
As a cover, like a B-side of something like that. But I don't see any significant cover versions listed anywhere.
Nobody's had the guts to tackle it.
Yep. So,
don't ask me why this... So at the bottom of Wikipedia, read more, I'm assuming, related somehow, you know, articles on Wikipedia. You have Rapture by Blondie. Makes sense.
Okay.
The Call of the West album that this is on. And Just the Way You Are, 1977 Billy Joel song.
How is that connected?
I don't know. why is that listed on there?
I don't know. Glitch in the algorithm.
There might be something. Maybe same producer or something. Somehow. Same engineer. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
That drummer.
Maybe there's a face that comes out of a pot of beans in the video for that.
All right.
All right, how
are your votes
order?
In?
Yeah, mine's in.
Nick, Chris, Andy.
Can't do it, sorry.
Well, I didn't...
Don't...
you said Nick, Chris. Okay, sorry. I thought I was going first since I picked it, but no, that works.
Yeah. Very interesting, very very cool, you know, weird of the era, but
not a classic.
No, I can't.
Hell no! Trash ass.
Well, call me what you will.
He just did. Kevin Garnett just voiced his displeasure with your pick.
Well, I'll stand by it.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to go all the way through. I mean, that's again, I think if you pushed it through, which I was prepared to do simply because I figured one of you two guys would shoot it down, but it would be strictly for nostalgic purposes. I mean, as we've established, it had a pretty good pop hook there and stuff, but in terms of full-on boner like Tony Iommi had in the I assume that's what you meant when you said he was wooden in the video. I don't think we could go there with this one. Andy, are you going to play your card, or you don't want to reveal what your vote was going to be?
I think I would have gone with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is an iconic song.
That's what I was thinking.
Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it. I know it, and I've never listened to it.
So, you've never seen the video?
Never seen the video, never.
Were you aware there was a video?
Yeah, but I just never... You know, like I said, maybe I'd seen a snippet of it on some kind of retrospective of sorts.
Right.
But
I enjoyed it quite a bit, but couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, Nick, thanks a lot. You ruined the day.
Ah, well.
If you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Not my first.
Or my last.
All right. Hey, let's pick up where we left off with our buddy Adam Montague from Scotland.
Where's he at now?
And also in May, I'm going to see Duran Duran with Nile Rodgers as opening support. So
that'll
be really cool. I'll wait there as well. And just want to say thanks to all you guys individually as well. Thanks to Andy for reaching out. I think it was back in 2019 when I was very, very, very dark. Emotionally, mentally, psychologically, so spiritually sort of place, and I kind of posted something on Twitter. It was basically a cry for help, and Andy was one of the first people to reach out, which I greatly, greatly appreciate.
Look at that.
You were aware of that.
Appreciated and still do now. And thanks to Nick for introducing me to the wonderful world of Mr. Lou Rawls, who I'd never really heard of before.
Oh, man.
And we've exchanged a few messages, and I'd like to think I've introduced him to the world of Johnny Taylor.
That's true.
Who I can't believe you guys haven't done an episode on as well.
I don't know him. It may be
happening. An album called Eargasm, and it's got many a good tune.
I would imagine
so. And also Ray Parker Jr. I'm surprised you guys haven't done a Ray Parker Jr. song. He's got
a
back catalogue that is overwhelmingly masculine in terms of his songs.
I gotta check it out.
This much I know, Ed, is a true statement. You
know, right up your guys' street. Yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before Ray Parker Jr. gets on there. And also thanks to Chris for the Mean Reds album, because I heard a couple of things on YouTube after you guys did the episode of Gasoline, and I really enjoyed it. So I went and tried to find a CD copy somewhere, anywhere, and I found one on Discogs, and I got it. So,
wow.
Yeah, heard the album, downloaded a couple of songs into my iTunes, really enjoy it.
Just
you should
a couple.
Be proud of Chris, man. That's a good piece of work.
Very, put the whole very fucking thing on there.
So I just want to say thanks very much for the hours and hours of entertainment. And I haven't been to the US in quite a while now. I have been to Chicago very briefly, but I haven't really been to America in probably about a decade now. So, but if I'm ever back in the, if I'm ever in the Midwest, I'll be sure to drop you guys a wee shout.
Give me a
if
call.
You guys are ever in Scotland, give me a shout. So yeah, cheers guys, all the best, take
yeah,
care,
thank
and,
you
see you soon, bye.
What a sweet guy.
Lovely.
Thank you, Adam, that was very nice.
And quite a thing you did, Andy. I wasn't aware of that.
Hey, I used to be a nice man back in 2019.
Typically drives people deeper into the abyss of despair.
Hey, I saw what you said. I'm gonna make it worse. No. No.
Jeez, that's about as good a compliment as you can get. I mean, obviously you would prefer that you would never have had to step in on that, but seeing that on all places, the toilet known as Twitter.
Yeah.
And responding with something that helped a guy through a tough spot, that's pretty cool stuff, man.
That's cool, yeah. I'm glad he's doing better. I'm glad he's... still jet setting and globe trotting.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Jeez.
I'd like to know why he's doing all of that traveling.
Why not?
Well, I don't mean it that way. I just mean, is it for pleasure or is it for business? Is it both? What's this guy up to? Adam, what are you doing? Mostly it's a jealousy thing.
Well, it's going to lead to an indictment.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of arrest,
yeah.
Most likely.
Andy's it's running from the law.
Andy's investigation.
You know, I'm working with the FBI closely, so I will call them.
They're expecting Andy's call at this point.
Yeah, they're like, oh man, he's calling
he
again.
He checks in.
Calls all the time.
Even if nothing's going on. Just Andy
just
again.
Tell him old stories.
Hey, it's just Andy.
Did I ever tell you guys... Yeah,
and I wanted to say I we kind of sort of had you know, he wasn't featured, but on the Lou Rawls song from this past February, we had Ray Parker Jr.
That's right,
quite possibly on it. We weren't able to say 100% he was on that track, but mm-hmm. So
we said like 85%.
It's sounded to me like yeah, he's probably on there.
He's on there. All right, well, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with a Yard O' Questions. Stay tuned. Or skip ahead. Whatever. Do we lose money if they skip ahead? Do they track if
they
actually
skip ahead?
Listen? You just hit the old 30-second button.
They shouldn't make it so easy for people
they
to skip
make
ahead.
They do make it easy, but hey, if no they don't, there'll be a revolt in the streets.
Who's
if they
gonna...
take that option away...
who's going to buy the product if they don't know what it is?
Well,
exactly. Yeah.
He's got a dog mad at him. Dog says, if you take that skip button away, I'm going to nip you.
He's like, are you trying to get rid of our skip button?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I won't do it.
Nope.
Yards of questions.
Motherfucker, I give them.
Swing away.
Yes, chief.
That got her riled up. She was asleep to the whole thing. Then she heard about getting rid of the forward button.
How about that?
Ready to bite Nick.
Nick's not even involved in the decision making.
She nearly took a run at me.
She did.
Just wanted a piece.
He didn't mean it.
I kind of meant it.
Oh no. Uh-oh.
Not afraid.
Pissed off dog. Okay. This week's Yardo questions comes to us from Matthew J. Fox.
Good one.
You think it's not a real name?
Who am I to say?
that's not even Michael J. Fox's real initial.
It's like Michael F. Fox?
It's like A, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway.
I didn't know that.
It was inspired by Yngwie J. Malmsteen. I decided to steal it. Or did Yngwie steal it from Michael J. Fox? Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, either way, that was a hot middle initial.
Yeah, it was.
At that point in time.
Okay. Matthew says, "Hey guys, love the show. I really think it gets better and better every week. Not sure what else I can say that others already haven't already said."
What is there to say?
So I'll get to the Yardos. Question one. What are your favorite pizza toppings? Mm. And what's your stance on pineapple on pizza?
Oh, that question.
Personally, I don't care either way. Not sure why it's such a big deal to people. Any toppings you despise or don't think belong on pizza? Let's settle the debate. Start with the pineapple question.
Fine with it.
Fine. You eat it, though? Like, you're fine eating it, or you're fine with other people eating it?
I've had it a couple of times. It's not something that I'm not going to answer pineapple as for the first part of the question, mm-hmm. for one of my favorite toppings, but
you're okay
had
with
it. I mean, it makes sense with like the ham, pepperoni, Canadian bacon, whatever, you know, it's paired up with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
All right, Chris, pineapple?
Well, when I first learned of it was when I got to college, and there was a pizza joint that offered it as a topping. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. And just on paper, I was vehemently opposed to it. Because in general, I don't like the combination of sweet and savory. Okay. I don't like that blended together in the same meal. So, like, for example, if I was getting pancakes with syrup for breakfast, I would not combine that with like sausage or bacon. I just, for whatever reason, I'm not a fan of the two blending on a single plate or a single meal.
Like the big chicken and waffles thing.
Exactly.
That's still blowing up across the nation.
Yeah, and I understand why people like it. I'm not a fan of it, but you know, I've since eaten pizza that's had pineapple on it. It's all right. It certainly wouldn't be my first choice. I would never order it for myself, but if it was available, you know, and that was the only choice, I would have it, and it would be fine. I can have it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it necessarily, but it would be fine. I'm not not as opposed to it as I used to be, and I find it interesting and understandable why it's become such a polarizing thing. But my favorite topping is equally polarizing in the opposite direction, and that would be anchovies.
That's your favorite?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Love it. Do an anchovy and onion.
Really? That's your favorite? I didn't know that.
Be a big fan of that. Throw a mushroom on there, but
I mean, that's like pure salt pretty much, right?
And essentially.
Yeah.
You know.
Dog's okay with it.
Dogs are
not growling. Nick, what's your go-to topping?
Spanish
peanuts.
On a tombstone pizza?
That was one of Nick's creations when we were kids.
Andy naysayed it. Wouldn't be surprised if he
I eat it secretly.
Went home tonight. Popped one in the oven.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm not really. I just like to bring it up. Yeah. I'm not necessarily naysaying.
No, it's funny because, yeah, I would do that, mm-hmm. and it was, like, weird, and I recognized it was weird. Mm-hmm. But then, like, once you start watching, like, Food Network or whatever, you realize it's not even that weird.
It's not that weird.
There's way weirder stuff out
there. People shit on their food.
Well.
Oh, maybe I'm watching a different maybe, website.
Maybe.
Yeah.
There's, I'd say for my favorite, it's a combination. I love the combination of bacon, kale, and Swiss cheese.
What?
On a pizza.
Kale.
Kale, bacon, and Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese, like in place of the mozzarella?
Not in place, but added to it.
Like
blended?
Squares of
it could be square.
Slices
or
of Swiss cheese.
You could buy shredded or, you know, whatever.
Whatever you want. But you could pick up, you like the flavor mixed in.
How did you arrive at that combination?
It was just,
kale.
And that kale, man. You were talking about the beans giving you gas. If you haven't had kale in a while, have some kale and then buckle up, because it's going to...
All right.
It's going to be like Evel Knievel trying to jump the canyon when that thing came loose on the track.
Your helmet's going to pop off if you eat kale and you haven't had it in a while.
I mean, it'll knock you for a loop. But because I was trying to make like a Chicago deep dish sort of thing, and you just throw different things into it.
Okay.
And that combination came up, and I just, there was something about that trade-off between the three with the, you know, with the tomato sauce and what, all the usual stuff. Delicious.
Interesting. What about you, Andy? Let's get your answer to this one, this particular one. Forget the pineapple.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah,
nobody
cares. I just, honestly, I just like a plain cheese, but I'll eat like a pepperoni and sausage. I'll eat whatever. But
meat lovers,
I'll
if you
eat
will.
It, but if I'm ordering for myself, I just usually like a plain cheese. Maybe some Roma tomatoes added to the mix.
Very nice.
But I don't like a lot of shit on pizza. That's
how I always was, and a lot of the time I am more comfortable just having it. If we're getting pizza from somewhere, just give me a cheese. Like, I'm just, I don't...
Yeah, if I'm somewhere else, I'll eat whatever.
Because if I'm not putting the toppings on myself, I feel like, all right, what quality toppings? Me. Like if you get bacon from anywhere,
it's a gamble.
A lot of times it's garbage.
Yeah, it's fat.
Yeah, pure fat.
Chewy
pieces.
Fat garbage. Yeah. Yeah. So that's me. Question two. What snacks are you guys into? Example, Doritos, etc. Any you think are underrated? To me, the sweet chili Doritos and Funyuns are both vastly underrated.
I was going to say sweet chili Doritos are the best flavor.
Really?
Yes.
I've never had those.
Well, that's two guys telling us.
And that's the one I was going to say before you read it.
So those are the go-to. Okay.
And,
you guys ever eat those blue Takis?
Those things look like an absolute nightmare.
I can't imagine what kind of dumps you'd take after eating that.
Okay, so...
Blue heat is the flavor.
I've never had it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's the craze, which is still going on somehow. I remember when it first started coming out, it was the Flamin' Hots, right? They had, like, the Doritos first, I think, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now they've got the Funyuns in Flamin' Hots. I have heard that it's common for people to get freaked out and go to the emergency room and say, I have blood when I'm...
taking the poop
in my stool,
mm-hmm.
and it. I guess after a while, one of the questions that started to be asked by the staff
have you been
eating those Flamin' Hots?
Hmm.
And in a lot of cases, the answer is yes. It's like, okay, you're fine. It's
just that
dye and the profuse amount of powder that they. Cake on top of that stuff is just affecting people. So the blue, I can't even imagine what kind of disaster you'd be hosting.
Yeah. Did you see that movie on Disney Plus about the invention of Flamin' Hot?
I was going to say, aren't they making a movie about
it? No. It's out, but I haven't watched it. I don't know if I'll make it around to that, but
never even heard of that.
Well, I'll tell you, Nick. Richard Montañez, the son of a Mexican immigrant, was a janitor at Frito-Lay when he came up with the idea for Flamin' Hot Cheetos. His creation, inspired by the flavors of his community, revitalizes Frito-Lay and disrupts the food industry.
Well,
kind of did.
Yeah.
Still around. I mean, what can you say?
Yep.
I personally don't like it, but...
Yeah, I don't go down that road. But this sweet chili, I wasn't even aware of
it. It's like the purple bag.
Now, did he say there was... When he mentioned Funyuns, is there a sweet chili version of Funyuns?
I was wondering the same.
Not that I've ever seen.
I think he might have just been talking
just
plain
regular Funyuns.
But I will say something I just tried like a couple weeks ago that was really, really good is they've got... like wavy, is it Lay's that makes Funyuns maybe? Whatever the brand is. It's like a wavy potato chip, like a Ridges kind of Ruffles thing.
Yeah.
But it's Funyun. It's just like, it's a chip, but it tastes like Funyuns.
They
it's
put
actually.
The Funyun powder on it.
Yeah, it's got the Funyun flavor.
So for people who don't want the visual bullshit, you know, the quasi onion ring, I don't need that. I just want the flavor.
I want a chip that
tastes
like
it. See, now that's
like
good
it.
Food marketing. Somebody coming in and earning their salary with that, I'm good with.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people are over the horse shit of the quasi-onion ring. They get it. They just want the flavor. Give it to them in a regular chip. That's good food marketing right there.
Can't knock it.
I'd recommend that. That was pretty
good.
Did
not know those existed either.
And chili cheese Fritos might be my all-time.
Cheese Fritos, that was when I famously ate a big grab bag of those for lunch at Playboy. The day I had a proctology, I went to my general practitioner.
At least the proctologist didn't eat a bag right before you came in.
Well, that's true.
Not wash his hands.
But by the same token, it was like having ingested that a few hours earlier, and then when he just told me, okay, I'm going to give you a prostate exam, and I wasn't expecting, I'm like, oh my God, what's he going to find down there? I just... had serious doubts that it was very clean down there after eating that, so yeah, I was probably right. But can you imagine what those guys have seen?
Oh yeah,
I don't even want to think about it. But snacks wise, for me, you can't beat a good pretzel.
There you go.
Pretzel is king.
Do you have a
snacks.
Specific brand that you go with?
The Snyder's in the box, the hard pretzels, you can't beat it. The king of snacks, the secretariat of snacks, if you will, the pretzel.
Like dipping them in anything or no?
Occasionally.
Those hot buffalo, hot buffalo pretzel chunks or whatever.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
All right, question three. Do you think you could become a vegetarian, or if you tried... how long would it last? I think I could maybe do 2 days, but that's it. Says Matthew. Thank you, Matthew, for your questions. I enjoy the food-centric questions.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think?
I think I could totally do it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I like to get primal, get down on some meat, but...
Have you ever tried it? Or like...
No, never consciously, but... I mean, I'm sure I've gone days at a time. Just that just happens to be what I've eaten. No actual meat product.
Not intentionally, though.
I don't think so. No, I don't think I've ever decided I wanted to go on a vegetarian diet. Now, vegan would be a whole other thing. No.
Yeah.
Vegan.
Yeah,
is
what's the difference again? I can never.
No dairy, or no animal products
whatsoever.
So, yeah. So vegetarian, just not the meat.
Yeah.
Vegans, no cheese, no milk.
Yeah,
no,
vegan is a hard no.
Possibly no honey, depending how hardcore you are.
See, that
involves bee labor.
That's an absolute deal breaker if I can't have honey.
Yeah, that's... Yes, agree with Nick. That's definitely out. That's stupid. So what I've learned about myself from my fitness journey over the past year and a half is that I could do it if I set my mind to it. Would I choose to do it? The answer is no.
Yeah.
Because, like, really, really dropping fat pounds, the diet is so restrictive, not even vegetarian, but it's just like these super shredded people, bodybuilders, whatever. It's 85% diet.
Yeah.
It's like these motherfuckers, six times a day, chicken, rice, broccoli. That's it.
Yeah, all day long.
When they really want to get to like 10% body fat or less. And
yeah.
Yeah, I lost 50 pounds on that, adhering to that diet. But I've since put some back on because I've taken back some of my eating habits because I like the food too much, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it tastes good to me. And, you know, I try not to eat like an asshole as much as I used to, but yeah. I'm back to eating like an asshole a little bit, and I'm fine with it, you know? That's a whole level, veganism would be like off the chart. I mean, what's there left to eat, for Christ's sake?
Well,
just plant-based shit. That's it.
Yeah,
that's the only option you have at that point, right?
Well, I mean, you could have. There's like candy, you know.
Well, yeah, but nothing, what's the nutritional value?
No,
nothing that's touched gelatin.
And where the fuck do they get? Is it they get their protein all from like whey?
It's like chickpeas. Beans, legumes.
You're not getting enough protein. Like that much I know.
Well, Doyle from the Misfits is a vegan.
Has he always been a vegan?
I don't know, but for quite a while.
Well, he's probably also taken steroids.
I mean, I don't know that, but I would assume there's got to be something going on there. The guy's got to be damn near 60.
And that's another thing I learned, that guys with physiques like his and the guy who trained me,
yeah,
they're ingesting massive amounts of protein. And if they're not, they're shooting up steroids.
Well, it's probably both. I mean, I feel like steroids get too much credit. Because I feel like, you know, of course they help.
Well,
but you
I'm
have
saying,
to do a shitload of work. And like you said, the diet thing.
What I'm saying is a vegan is not... It's not getting the physique of Doyle, okay, without artificial enhancement. So let's just clear that up right now. You couldn't eat enough beans to get that much protein. you'd collapse.
Yeah.
You would never stand up off the toilet, and you still wouldn't have enough protein to get that kind of physique. That much I know.
Yeah.
I learned a few things over the past year and a half, and certain things are not possible without massive amounts of protein, and you're only going to get that level from eating animal protein.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But you're not going to look like fucking Doyle, okay?
Yeah.
So something's going on there. Either he's a goddamn liar, or he's shooting up steroids. That simple.
Yeah.
I know it hurts you, Andy, to hear these truths about your idol, but it's true.
Well, it just makes me want to do steroids, really, more than anything. Yeah. But I just don't think it's going to help enough.
No, you still have to put in the work.
Yeah.
But if you put in the work, it will supercharge your results. Yeah. No question about it.
Yeah. Well, if anybody out there has steroids, shoot me an email.
Pun intended.
We'll do them together. Be a good time. And if you want to add a Yardo questions for next week, maybe sometime in the future. I don't know. We've got a whole bunch, but just pick them kind of randomly. Go to potofthunder.com, click that little widget for Yardo questions, and send not one, not two, but three questions our way. We'd love to read them on the show. Chris, did you ever try be a vegetarian at any point in your life?
No.
Even briefly? No. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everybody who listened.
And we'll be back next week with more Pod of Thunder.
French fried potatoes, garlic mashed potatoes, loaded baked potato, or the waffle fries on the rice.